Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. I want to give a quick flyover of some things that have happened just in the last few days, because some of you, especially if you don't have children or grandchildren here, you're not quite as aware of all that's happening within the ministry of our church through the week, because this place has happened 7 days a week, and we have a large academy. It's one of the largest church with an academy in the state, and it's becoming one of the largest in the country now. We saw over weeks of prayer and weeks of ministry and weeks of teachers and pastors and coaches pouring into students, we saw 35 students and a parent and a couple others trust Christ, follow Christ, and be baptized right here Thursday morning. Isn't that awesome? 35. Before we celebrate anything else, I want you to be a part of a little bit of that, because kids came in. This room was full of children. It was full of parents, grandparents. Kids brought signs. There was more life in this room than much more life than the UT game yesterday, I promise you. It was an incredible experience. We've started counseling. We always do individual careful counseling with children and parents, but we've started allowing them, if they want, under either our authority as their church or if they have another church with permission, we ask if they want to be baptized in front of their peers. There is such a thing as positive peer pressure. And so these kids, man, they were cheering for one another, and 35 we witnessed just 3 days ago. So let's watch that highlight video. Then we're going to stop, give God praise for more things he's done. Watch this.
Happy Thanksgiving, GCA! What an exciting time as God is on the move at GCA, saving folks. We get to baptize over 30 students today. It's a great time to be a GCA Ram. Let's praise God right now.
There have been parents that have been praying for these kids to come to Christ. They've been praying and asking God, God, you know that their greatest need is not all this stuff. Their greatest need is you. And there have been parents that have been praying for this day. And today we've watched many give their lives to Christ and follow through in obedience with baptism. Look at what God can do. This is not about Grace Christian Academy. This is not about Grace Baptist Church. It's not about anybody in this room. It's about the great God that you and I serve.
What Pastor Mike has said is so right and is so worth repeating. Not to us, but to the Lord's name we give all the glory. It is not about this church. It is not even about this academy. It is about Christ, who gave himself for us and who has made it possible for us to be restored to our Creator, so that we not only will experience eternal life one day there, but we can experience eternal and abundant life here and now as children of God and brothers and sisters in faith.
Look at what God did. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. I love that. Man, to see a father get baptized with his son, to see student athletes get baptized by their coaches, to see one of our coaches baptize his daughter, and have a room full of people that were exuberant and joyful. Let me just say, God is so good. This ministry is so vibrant. Thank you to Pastor Matt Mercer, head of school, and his incredible team. A wonderful group of folks that serve the Lord. Remember, it is one family. It is one Grace. We are one organization. We literally have one tax ID number. We operate as one unit. This is one of our ministries. It happens to be our largest by number, but it is one of many, many ministries. And this Thursday, we really celebrated tremendous things. Also, Pastor Mike is campus pastor, making a great influence there. And he did a great job as the tip of the spear with this year's Feeding the 5,000. I hope that you were blessed in the packing, in the celebrating, in the serving, in the results. You know, I did not tell a soul what I've been praying for weeks now. And you're going to start seeing some pics of yesterday. They posted some incredible pictures. Next week, we're going to have an incredible highlight reel. They could have had it done this morning. I said, no, let's hold it. Let's celebrate that next week. But I want to tell you what I was praying. I didn't even tell Cindy until the 40th person came into the pool. I was praying, Lord, if you were willing, would you give us 40 souls and 40 people that would say yes to Christ and be obedient to be baptized. We know the baptism doesn't save them, but it's a public step of obedience. I just met, first hour, several that have never been here before, but we connected with them at Feeding the 5,000. One sweet lady that walked through a few minutes ago had a 16-month-old grandchild that she's raising. She said, I came yesterday, and I want you to know I was one of those that got baptized, and I'm here in church today. I need a family of faith. Another one followed her. I've been praying, Lord, would you give us 40? We've had 36 and 38. We had 19 last year. We've had big events, boom, bash, but we've never had 40. I felt like 40 is a good, strong biblical number. And the Lord just impressed upon me, pray for 40. Would you pray for 40? Well, God did exceedingly abundantly. We had 43 people baptized yesterday morning, 43. Now, I don't want to pass that too quick. I love what they just sang. We will remember. And let me tell you why I want to pause. The average church in America in 2024 has 70 attenders. Right now, across every denominational stripe, including non-denominational Protestants of all stripes, average 70 people in worship on any given Sunday. Now, I know there are churches much smaller, 10, 12, 15, 20. There are churches much larger, our size and larger. But the average is 70. I want you to reflect on something that God did. In 3 days, now it took a lot of months of work and prayer and preparation, and for some, years of preparation. But in 3 days, we witnessed 78 people follow Christ and be baptized for the faith. Can you believe that in 3 days, y'all? 3 days. Isn't that good? That is good. God is so good. I've just never seen anything like it. It's just y'all have been so generous and so many people giving. We gave away more food than we've ever given away. We had more in attendance than we've ever had. Thank you, Bart McFadden. Thank you, Boys and Girls Club. Man, these guys, y'all, that's an awesome facility that God gave them. And they're using it for His glory. And I watched Brother Bart at the end of the pool yesterday, and I wanted to go back and talk to him again. And he was just watching, and you could see he had tears in his eyes. And I thought, man, he's got a lot of weight on him. He's got tens of millions of dollars of stuff that he oversees with Boys and Girls Clubs. But to see the life change, and I talked to one of the lifeguards, and I said, you don't see this every day, do you? She said, no, normally I'm calling these kids down. But to see them out here like this, it's all worth it. And it's just a beautiful event. Thank you for participating. Now, if you didn't participate, you better get right with Jesus and participate next time. It's worth you being involved. And we're going to tweak things. We're going to try to make them better and better. But you have a commitment from me. A lot of places have started doing giveaways, even more than we've ever seen. And that's wonderful. I'm happy for them. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the drive-thrus. But we are a church. And we are going to continue to have a worship service. And we are going to continue to say, you must come. You must be here. Because Jesus shows up and does what only He can do, y'all. So we're going to keep saying, you come worship. Then we'll bless you. And we have seen the Lord do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. Because of our growth, we've called another pastor. I told you about him. He's going to be our college and young adult, young families pastor. He's going to oversee age-graded ministries. Pastor Kyle Earwood, his wife Leanna, their children Callie Hudson, and a third on the way this spring. They're moving in a few weeks. They'll be actually around Christmas time. They'll be joining us, but you'll see him there on the screen. And so we'll be blitzing social with that later today as he's telling his church in North Carolina. And we're very grateful to have the Earwoods unanimously approved to join us here in our Grace Pastoral Team. We have a great group of pastors. In addition to Pastor Mike, who really was tip of the spear, all of our guys, all of our ladies, all of our team worked their guts out and joined you guys, and God just did, man, just amazing, amazing things. And so, many months ago, I laid out the book of Nehemiah, and I had no idea I'd be at this message this day, but I named this message a long time ago, and I think it happens to be the perfect name. As we're talking about great expectations, God's work, God's way for God's glory, as we look at the second half of chapter 12, the title I had selected, and then it just fell naturally into the calendar, was To God Be the Glory. Now, I love that old hymn by Fanny Crosby. What is the next line? To God be the glory. Yeah, great things He has done. That's what I want us to reflect on. I never, ever want to take the credit or the glory away from what the Lord has done. Now, He used y'all. He worked through your hands. He worked through this staff. He worked through your generosity. You were more generous, and we did more than 1,000. We're not trying to get weird about it, though, and say, well, it's feeding the 8, 9, 10. We fed way more than 5,000 people with this much food y'all gave. We had an overflow of food, and we made sure we had given, it was well over 1,100 boxes plus several hundred bags of non-perishables. But I tell you, when we think to God be the glory, great things he has done, we've got to have a moment, before we go to the next thing, we've got to have a moment to pause and thank the Lord. Because here we find that the people of Jerusalem, they're ready to dedicate this great wall that was built. The work was completed in 52 days, totally miraculous. And now the people have begun reordering their social and spiritual lives. Now they've come back to the Word, they're beginning to celebrate certain things, but they need to pause. And they need to have a moment of dedication, and they need to say, look at what God has done. And they need to celebrate that appropriately together. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm going to skip around a bit. It'll all be on the screens. But if you have a copy of the Word and you're able, stand with me. We're going to read this selected text together. And then next week, y'all, kind of sad, the very last message from Nehemiah. I've got all of chapter 13. I'm going to be finishing it out. Then I have a three-part series I'm working on for Christmas to celebrate the birth of our Lord. But let's get in here with verse 27. We read, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication of the wall with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing with cymbals." I love that. They got drums and percussion in the Bible, "and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem and the villages of the Netophathites," if you want to say that three times, "Netophathites, from the house of Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem." Remember, some lived out there, some lived in the city proper. And then the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. "So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall." Love this scene. Picture this. "And I appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. And one went to the right on the wall and toward the refuse gate." And then look at verse 38. "And the other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way. And I was behind them with half the people on the wall, going past the Tower of the Ovens as far as the broad wall." Go to 40. "And so the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God." So they come around to the temple. "And likewise, a half of the rulers with me." Let's go to 43. "And also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced." Now, why were they so happy? "For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced." I love this one. Now look. "So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off." They were country folk, afar. Afar off, they heard the joy of the people of the Lord. Heavenly Father, may that be said of grace. May the joy of the Lord be heard afar off. May the people get as excited about new life in Jesus, and much more so than a football game, than a basketball game. May we be more joyful that we win in Jesus than that the Gators won yesterday. Lord, what is the world coming to when Tennessee folk are fans of the Gators? It's a strange time, but Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you're moving in and through your church. I'm grateful that when we did gather yesterday, there was a celebration. I didn't have to beg folks to respond. They just responded. May the same be said here today. I'm grateful for Thanksgiving Chapel. I was so blessed to see kid after kid, student, athlete, artist, fathers, coaches, to see new life in Christ being celebrated. Lord, what an amazing thing. What a joy to be a part of something like this. And I know it takes a lot of folks working together. I know it's not one, but Lord, ultimately it's because you have chosen to smile down upon us. You have chosen to put your hand of blessing here. And God, I pray that continues. I don't want to lose it. Lord, I don't want to do anything silly that would cause it to stop. I just pray, Lord, that we would be in a heart and mind of gratitude and celebration today. We will stop and we will reflect on all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. Okay, let me give you three things right here, vital characteristics as we glorify God. What does that look like? Number one, dedication. If you're a note taker, write that word down. Dedication is a vital part of glorifying God. Now, you've probably heard this word before, whether you knew it in the Hebrew or not. Chanukah. It's used for a holiday, a Jewish holiday that happens to fall typically around Christmas, Hanukkah. But Hanukkah is a different holiday celebrating the rededication of the temple second century before Christ. So, about 250 years prior to that, we have Chanukah celebration taking place in this text. And it could rightly be translated consecration, the idea of setting apart. So when you read about they celebrated, they dedicated, they purified, a lot of these words are interrelated. And the idea of dedication means to set apart for a specific use. So purification is one of the key components to dedication. Listen to one definition of dedication I found. A giving up of property or other things to public use that precludes the owner from asserting any further interest in it. Meaning, I built this section of the wall, but that's not my wall, that's our wall. I worked here and I did this with my own hands, but that's no longer mine, that's the Lord's. It's what we do every time we give. It's what we do every time we serve. Every time we serve, every time we give, we are dedicating ourselves, dedicating resources, dedicating time, talent, and treasure unto the Lord. And when we look at it in verse 27, it is the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. And they are going to celebrate this dedication with gladness. And when we go to 30, it says these priests and these Levites, they purified themselves. They purified the people. They purified the gates. They purified the wall. They did these rituals that symbolically showed, hey, none of us own this. None of us own this. This is the Lord's. Just like this house in 1999, this particular space. And I know it's been rededicated, but this space was dedicated to the Lord. It was dedicated to the work of the Lord. So it's not my house. It's not your house. It is God's house. And so I want you to think about this. It is much easier to dedicate your life to God when you consider how the Lord dedicated his life for you. There's another word you could choose to use there, and I've written it for you. It's the word surrender. When you realize what Jesus has done, it's much easier to surrender yourself, to surrender your own life. Christ gave his very life so that we may give our lives back to him in service of him and others. That's what feeding the 5,000 is about, y'all. When I see you guys, I'm as blessed by watching our volunteers. We ran out of lanyards yesterday because we had so many volunteers. I'm as blessed by seeing you guys serve together, all ages, working for the Lord. I'm so incredibly blessed by that. And then to see other people that get touched by what you do. To see in the voucher room yesterday where the 20 families had been drawn out by their ticket number, and one of the ladies said she had just lost a family member, and hear how she had no gas money, but with that $500 food and fuel voucher, she was going to be able to fill up her vehicle and go to be with her family at a time of great need. To hear stories like that, to see genuine tears of gratitude and people even that didn't win the vouchers but getting the boxes and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. What a beautiful picture. I would say that pretty much all of us are dedicated to something or someone. So my question would be, to whom or to what are you dedicated? Who or what is your life set apart for? Most people are dedicated to their jobs. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. People are dedicated to their favorite sports team. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. People can be dedicated to recreational activities or hobbies. Nothing wrong with that. But who's first? What's first? To whom or what are you dedicated? Are you an individual that says, my life really is fundamentally, if you boil it all down, my life is dedicated to the Lord? And whenever God gives me an opportunity to glorify Him in my business, in sport, in recreation, whatever it is, whenever God gives me that opportunity, I'm going to take it, because dedication is a vital part of glorifying God. Secondly, though, celebration is a vital part of glorifying God. Now, this is where I'm going to make some of y'all squirm, so just hold on. Celebration. You know, one of the things I love most about gathering with people that we don't normally gather with in a worship service, one sweet lady, very difficult for her to move, and she was told if we had boxes afterward, a box would be brought to her in her apartment, but she made her way down yesterday. She figured out a way to get herself into Boys and Girls Clubs, and when someone, a leader, told her, look, we could have set this aside after the service, we could have done this for you, she said, no, I had to come. I had to worship. I had to be here. And there's something special. If you've never experienced that, there is a spirit that is special in the place. And I'm going to be honest with you. When we get here and I preach here, sometimes I feel like we got too much Baptist in us. I was Baptist 9 months before I was born, y'all. I've gone to a lot of Baptist churches, but because of my life in the singing world and traveling, and then as a young preacher, I'm going to tell you, I've preached in about every stripe of church and every type and non-denom you can ever go to. And I'm telling you, sometimes Baptists are boring. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not saying we go into the hyper extremes that some have done, but I'm afraid in the early 1900s, we got scared to death and gave the Holy Spirit over to the Pentecostals. And the Holy Spirit is part of our belief too, y'all. The Spirit of the living God is part of who we are and what we do, y'all. And if other people can get excited and other people can do a little jig sometimes for Jesus, I'm okay with it, y'all. Now look, I realize there are extremes and there are abuses, but we Baptists are in no danger of getting too happy for the Lord Jesus. We are in no danger of outdancing the guy down the street. And I'm just telling you, you know, yesterday, I feel like Baptist churches sometimes look like the first quarter of the UT game yesterday, y'all. It's just boring as watching paint dry, right? But then all of a sudden, some things start to happen. And when we think of the worship of God, showing His worth, no other activity is as good and godly and lofty as that of glorifying God. And we got to show on the outside what we're feeling on the inside. And I know what some of y'all old school Baptists are thinking. Well, bless God, that's not very reverent. Man, where did you get that silent equals reverent? You can be silent thinking about your fried chicken for lunch, and you can be happy slappy and never think about the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter that way or another, but if your heart is right and your mind is stayed on God, and I just told y'all 78 people got baptized in the last 3 days, somebody ought to go, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Look at what you've done. You go, God. I'm glad to be on your team. I'm glad you're the captain of my salvation. I'm glad you're the head of this church. Thank you, God, that I get to be a part of something that's alive. Man, if you want to be a part of something dead, go down there to the funeral home. But this is not a funeral parlor. This is a house of the people of God for the glory of God and for the growth of the kingdom. This is a place where life is happening, y'all. When a child is born, people rejoice. We had one of our families, they just had a little baby. They brought him back to us, and we rejoice with them. We rejoice when new life comes into the world. But you ain't never seen nobody sitting around the maternity going, oh boy, that's great, the kid's here. People get happy when new life comes into the world. We ought to be happy when people are born again. We ought to be happy when Christ takes them from the clutches of hell and puts them on the path to heaven. We ought to be happy, and we ought to notify our faith. We are happy. We are excited that God has done something, y'all. I want you to see this. Don't miss this. Now look, the end of verse 42. Did y'all see that, end of verse 42? Well, y'all know 27. We've read it a few times. They celebrated with gladness. Y'all know what that means in Hebrew? Gladness. Joy, excitement. But look at this, end of verse 42. The singers sang loudly with Jezariah the director. If my watch ain't going off telling me it's too loud, we ain't worshiping yet. Ha! There's going to be some volume in glory. And it says in 43, they rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And I love the end of that verse, y'all. The joy of these people up on that wall, walking around singing the praise of God, was heard afar off. You say, how far is afar? It's a good ways. It's pretty near farther than you think. It's a country mile. It's more. You say, I don't know what any of that means. Well, you got to get more cultured. Listen to me. Afar. These people heard them from afar. They were bearing witness to the watching world of what God had done. Y'all know the enemies were north, the enemies were south, the enemies were east, the enemies were west. Why do y'all think they took a 360 and sent two choirs around the wall? They wanted to say, ha ha, look at what God has done. They wanted to show the watching world and show their enemies, our God did this. Chapter 4, verse 3, they said, if a little fox gets up on your wall, it'll come crumbling down. They said, little fox, my backside, I'm going to show you. They got up on the wall. They set up the ladder. They went up the stairs. They said, come here, soprano and alto and tenor and bass. Y'all all get up here. Oh, that one choir ain't enough. Let's get another choir assembled. Come here, y'all, sopranos and altos, tenors and basses. Hey, y'all go that way. We're going to go that way. We're going to meet over at the temple. You ready? Go. And they marched around the wall to say, we can have a God. We do have a God. We will have a Savior that can do anything. 52 days. Look at what God did. 52 days, people working. They worked on their little section, and then they said, it's not mine. It's not my section. It's God's section. And they said, we want the watching world to know our God did this. Y'all sing your part. Y'all sing your part. We'll meet over there in the middle. And they were celebrating. The Bible says they celebrated so loud they heard them a long way off. You see, in 2024 and soon to be 2025, it is not the time to be solemn or tight-lipped with our faith. The instrumentalist played. The people sang. The people were happy. The atheistic German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once said, if the Christians expect me to believe in their Redeemer, they've got to look a lot more redeemed. The truth is, Christians too often appear drab, dreary, and monotonous. Now, who wants to be like that? I've taught all level of school, Bible college, seminary courses here and in other countries. I sometimes evaluate young guys if I'm asked for preaching. And I've never understood a guy that can just stand there and say, take your Bibles and turn to... And Jesus was raised from the dead, and he came back, and the people listen to him drone on and on and on. And the people don't ever respond because there's nothing exciting to respond to. I don't understand that. When I go downtown and get in that stadium, we're sitting there eating a hot dog. We had to test that they were good. We were sitting in the back area, and we weren't out there because it was boring as all get out. But we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, boom, and the stadium shook. And then you heard, whoa. And then you heard, down, 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 down. What did Cindy and I immediately know? We finally scored. And if you've never been there or if you've never been near there, we were leaving one of the bigger games earlier this year to get ahead of all the drunks. And we were getting out of town, and we were over a mile away from the stadium. But the same thing, a mile away plus, boom! And then we heard the roar of 100,000 of our closest friends that were acknowledging something great has happened. Now, don't forget, that same crowd that roars for you 1 minute can be booing you the next minute when you miss the play. Don't believe me, ask an Alabama fan. Okay, look, it's too soon, too soon. I know. That was way too easy. So, when we're talking about new life in Christ, because I want them to make the playoffs. I want them to get their shot. Never thought I'd see the Gator chomp in Neyland, but I did. I understand. But my point is, if they do, let's say we get that national championship. I know it's been a long time. Been a long time if you're a Vols fan. Cowboys fans? Oh, anyway. So, it's been a long time. But listen now. Next year, you're going to try to do it again. So you got to do it again the next time. And you got to do it again the next time. And I'm telling y'all, the 78 people that were counseled carefully, that have trusted Christ, that have been obedient to show the world they've trusted Christ through their baptism, because it didn't save them. They were already saved and they just showed the world. Those folks, they don't have to try next year. They don't have to go again. They don't have to get in a competition. They don't have to have any other effort. It has been done for them. It is finished. Paid in full, right? That's good news, y'all. They don't have to work hard at it. When people accept Christ, they've not won something temporarily. They've won for eternity. And I just think for us as the people of God, there are a lot of benefits of celebrating God's work. Y'all look at these. Benefits of celebrating God's work. There's unity amidst diversity. Because when we give praise to God, it is a profoundly unifying experience. There are those from every background, color, language, socioeconomic standing. We have millionaires working together with those who have great needs. And then there are a lot of us in the middle of that somewhere. We have urban people working with rural folks. We have leaders in their fields, bosses of bosses of bosses who employ hundreds, if not thousands, of people, working with the guy that's just getting started in his career. We have people that work from every stripe. And we have people that are living in an overflow and people that are just getting by. We have people that come from different backgrounds and different places. And the church is one of the few things on earth where you can see this kind of unity and diversity. If you don't believe the caste system is alive, you should travel to India with me sometime. But the caste system's alive and well in many areas of our world. But in the church, you don't have to flash some card to get in. You don't have to pay any membership dues. You don't have to be somebody in the eyes of the world, because you are somebody in the eyes of your God. And you are welcome. And whosoever will may come. And you say, yeah, but you guys are not as inclusive as some of those churches. Listen to me. We're inclusive, whosoever will may come, but we're also loving, and we're also truthful. You may come, and you may, by the grace of God and to the glory of God, be transformed by God. We're not asking you to come and stay as you are. We're asking you to come to be all that God made you to be, to live in accordance with His holy, perfect word. And what we'll find when we all aim at that is unity amidst diversity. All of us are aware of our equally deep need for God's forgiveness and stuff that may divide us. And the stuff that may divide us fades in insignificance compared to the wonder of what Jesus has done for us. There's unity amidst diversity in the body. And there's encouragement and empowerment for future works. Encouragement and empowerment for future works. You notice that this is not the end of the event for the Jews. It is a continuation, because more work is to be done to follow the Lord in their faith. Now, we know that that comes to its fullest revelation in Jesus Christ, and we still pray for our Jewish friends that don't yet know Christ. We pray that they would come to see Him as their Messiah, because He is their Messiah. He is our Messiah. But the work's not finished. If we were to look at 44, it actually talks about those appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for contributions and first fruits and tithes. If we were to continue to scan, you'll see the singers and the gatekeepers. If we go to 47, you'll see that there were people that were working there. The singers, the gatekeepers, they're consecrating things. The Levites are working. You'll see all of this diversity, but all of this unity. And when we celebrate what God is doing, it is inevitable that our lives will be dedicated to future work. A life that celebrates God equips us wonderfully for the trials of life. Let me tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited that we have people who are excited about next year's opportunity. I'm excited that next week, December 1st, I'm going to tell you about an opportunity that you can give and be a part of something bigger than yourself to love our neighbor for our Christmas gift for Christ. You say, yeah, but we're always doing. No, we're not. We rarely ask for special things. We have two big ones at the end of the year, feeding the 5,000 and Christmas gift for Christ. And I almost never hit you up for anything else through the year. Just give as God leads you. If you're a member, a regular attender, most of the time I leave you alone and say thank you. And the only people that ever get mad about me asking for something are the ones that aren't doing it anyway. So anyway, let's keep going. The reality is, next week, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Why? Because we rock on. We set a memorial stone and say, thank you, God, for what you've done. Now there's more work to do. God's not finished with us yet. I believe the best days of grace are still on our horizon. And I believe that it is important that the windshield is considerably larger than the rearview mirror. I think that matters because I think what's coming, Jelly Roll, the great theologian, taught me that. What's coming, if y'all don't know that, another culture reference, get right. What's coming is so much greater than what has been because ultimately Jesus is coming. And when I say celebrate, I don't mean all of life is hunky-dory and easy all the time, but celebration empowers us and breathes new life into the mission. Look at what Hebrews 13 says. That through Jesus, we can continually offer a sacrifice of praise. The Bible describes that as, look on the screen, it should be there. That's Hebrews 13. Here it comes. It's coming up right now. It's not. It came up, oh, thank you, Jesus. We are to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. Healthy trees bear fruit. Healthy things bear fruit. And the health of our heart is demonstrated by what is on our lips and how our hands and our feet respond. So it's not more spiritual to worship God quietly and morbidly. It is not necessarily more spiritual to worship God loudly and exuberantly. But with a heart that is rightly inclined toward the Lord, there are times when it's just going to bust out. There are just times you cannot keep it in. What does Psalm 33:3 say? Look at these three psalms back to back. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a what? See, I knew y'all were going to say it that way. Y'all first service did it the same way. If I asked them yesterday, and I put that up in that crowd we had yesterday, if I said, now, what does the Bible say here? I guarantee it, they'd have busted my eardrums. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. I want the folks at McDonald's to go, what just happened? A shout. And you say, well, yeah, but it doesn't say that very often. Oh, really? Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Otherwise, the rocks cry out, y'all. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Oh, clap your hands together. All ye people, shout unto God. I love that. Y'all getting a little Babdecostal too. We shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You are winners in Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute there, preacher boy. Are you telling me I'm a loser without Jesus? Exactly. You are a loser. Not only that, you're a lost loser. Not only that, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You're not just in bad shape. You're in the worst shape. You must trust Christ. You must believe. You must receive. You must say yes to Jesus. There's no other way. Heaven has no back doors. Are you celebrating the one who gave you everything? Dedication and celebration are vital. Let me conclude with this short point, appreciation. It's the week of Thanksgiving, after all. Appreciation is a vital part of glorifying God. In fact, I've written it like this. Y'all just write this down real quick. The foundation of the dedication and celebration is appreciation, okay? Y'all see that? The foundation of the dedication that they showed and the celebration is appreciation. 27 says that. They dedicated with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing. And then the two choirs, y'all saw what they were named, verse 31, verse 38, they were both named thanksgiving choirs. Thank and think, this is interesting etymologically, hail from the same root word, thank and think, okay? What is the difference? If I'm going to be truly thankful, I have to learn to think on the blessings of God. I think upon my God and I think upon his many blessings. If I think upon all my trials and tribulations, my woes and heartache, then I lose my appreciation. But when I think on God and I think on His blessings, I love what Helen Keller said. Many of you know, blind and deaf. Helen Keller wrote, "I've often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days at some time during his early adult life." She concluded, "It would make him more appreciative of sight and the joys of sound." Isn't that true? Isn't it true? I want to say something about Bobby, because I had a conversation with another type 1 diabetic this week. I had lunch, and I never thought I could tell you I'm thankful for insulin, thankful for insulin pumps and sensors. Never even thought about it. Never thought really once about it until about 7 years ago. Because when our son was diagnosed type 1 diabetic, which is radically different than type 2, honestly, it's an insulin dependency where the pancreas no longer functions, the doctor made a startling statement. 90 years ago, this would have been a death sentence. That's what he said. A death sentence? Yeah, medical advancement hadn't arrived to the place where you could keep a diabetic alive. The only cure was basically starvation, because the sugar continued to rise and the body began to basically war against the organs. I never stopped and thanked God for that type of medical advancement before, because I didn't even recognize it. And that's one of a thousand examples. If you slow down, and I slow down, and we think about all that we have to be thankful for, what does the Bible teach us? 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." In what? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything, Lord, really? In everything? Yep. I'm thankful for the deer we got the other night. Man, got a big, giant buck. I hate the fact that it was with Cindy's car, but we got him. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. There was a time in my life, she could be a witness to this, that I would have ranted and raved and probably cussed and been really out of sort about it. But now, it's metal and plastic. She's okay. She's okay. I'm okay. The other people, another guy hit it and actually knocked it into us. He's okay. We walked away, no problem. No problem. Car, not so much, but we were fine. Now, here's the cool thing, guys. When you get eternity in sight and when you realize how good God has been to you, a lot of things that would have really undid you before, that would have unraveled guys like me who kind of wound tight at times, let me just tell you, they just matter less because you have a heart of appreciation. You're grateful for what God has done. See, like the Israelites in exile, we all started from a place of utter ruin. We were all separated from God in our sin, where there appeared to be no hope. We were born into a situation where we were cut off from God and estranged. But God is calling us. God wants us to come home. And the rebuilding work in our own life begins when God draws us to Himself in salvation. We freely accept Christ as Lord and Savior and repent. You say, no. God chose us. Yes, He did. And you choose. God chose, you choose, you say yes. You say, how does all that work? Ask Him one day. We ask God for forgiveness of sins, and He grants it. I believe He grants it even before the words begin to come out of our mouth, as soon as our heart is inclined to Him. Now, there's opposition. There's enemy of our soul. And sometimes there's a cost. But when a truly miraculous and wonderful new life is built, the Creator that gave us life and gave us new life is worthy of our dedication and worthy of our celebration and worthy of our continued appreciation. And so, are you grateful for who God is? Are you grateful for what God has done? Are you grateful for what God will do? Appreciation, the foundation upon which we find dedication and celebration. As Melissa comes up, I talked to you about the song. It's in the title. It really wasn't known in the States after Fanny Crosby wrote it, who, by the way, herself was blind. But Crosby wrote, "Give God the glory, great things He's done." She wrote that as a blind woman. It was picked up by D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, his music guy, as he traveled, particularly in Great Britain. And then when Billy Graham went over and began to do crusades there, Cliff Burrows, who traveled with him and did a lot of his music, was introduced to this song, and the crowds just loved it. The people would sing it out with gusto. And then so Graham and Burroughs brought it back to the States. It was about 75 years removed from when the other side of the world knew it. But this hymn instantly was a hit among the people of faith, because people of faith recognize it's not us. It's not us. It's what God's doing. It's what our great God does. And so they begin to sing it in the Billy Graham Crusades with gusto. And I just thought, maybe, you know, before we open the altar and before we take a few minutes to express thanks, maybe on our knees, how about we stand before the Lord today? And how about we see if we remit, that means stand before the Lord today. Wow, you guys, we need like a teleprompter, stand now. And how about we see if we can't sing this out. I was introduced to a young man between service. We had a ton of people come today. I was introduced to a young man that grew up right here in Knoxville. This was the first day he'd ever walked through the doors of a church in his life. We got to share the gospel with him. We've encouraged him to come back. You know why he's here? Young lady he's dating is a Christian. Praise God. Now, I told y'all no missionary dating. She didn't listen, but she wasn't here for that. But here's what I'm going to tell you about that. I wonder what he thought when he saw the people around him sing this. And I wonder if he thought, I believe those folks mean what they're singing. He may not be the only one in the room this morning. To God be the glory. Come on.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin and opened the life.
Okay, we're going to pick it up just a little. Ready? On the chorus. Follow me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the...
Pretty good.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory.
Great. Let's sing the second verse.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God.
Good.
The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus.
Third verse, here we go. Great things, ready,
great things. He hath taught us great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
I love this.
Purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory when Jesus...
Sing it out.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people...
Come on.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, they're just taking a bite of their quarter pounder going, what's going on over there? We might ought to check that out. I really think it's important that we remember we don't just celebrate when we're with the people of God. We need to show the love and joy and appreciation we have even when we're the church scattered. It's who we are. It's what we do. We love God and we love people because we want them to know our Savior. We don't want them to know some false image of Jesus. We want them to be drawn to his church. But even more importantly than being drawn to a church like Grace, we want them to be drawn to the head of the church, Christ. That's why we have work these next weeks, plugging people in if they're not already plugged in. But if you were a part of Feeding the 5,000, and maybe this is your first time, like several last hour, I would love to invite you to come meet my wife and I through those double doors. We have one more gift we'd like to give you. And if you're a guest or a member who's not done so, we'd love to talk to you as well and just celebrate what God is doing. If you have a need, if there's a prayer request, please come and see us. You know, every step of the way, if we'll keep acknowledging this is from God and for God, and we'll keep this song in our heart, I believe the world will see the hand of God really is there. And all the while, we're going to keep singing and praising to God. Be the glory. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity of seeing what we've seen these last few days. To think that the average gathered church would have 70 people all told in any given Sunday, and yet in 3 days we saw 78 profess faith in Christ through believers' baptism. What an astounding thing. Let it not pass us by too quickly. Let us stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. It's been said and it's been sung today, but now let us leave this place and live it. I pray that some would be drawn to trust Christ today for the first time, that they would take a pastor or counselor by the hand and say yes to Jesus. I pray that some may come and trust Christ for the first time in a long time. They're part of the family of faith, but they've wandered. And like the prodigal, today you're bringing them home. What a joy. What a celebration. What a wonderful thing. I pray that many would choose to leave their seat of comfort and their row to simply come and on their knees before you, or even if they can't get down physically, here at this holy altar, express overwhelming appreciation and joy for what you have done in these days. But God, you're not finished with us yet. I believe in some ways we're just getting started. And so I'm praying, Lord, that we would thank you for the now, but we would eagerly anticipate the what's next. Because your hand is all over Grace. Because you are a God full of mercy and grace. So move us in our final minutes together as the gathered church to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come?
Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.